The following presentation was recorded at a Christian Light Education workshop. More information at clp.org.
The last topic this evening is Our God is an Awesome God. I'd like to read a portion of Scripture to begin with out of Revelation chapter 5. I invite you to stand as we read this Scripture. It says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and power and glory be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." You may be seated. What happens when you hear that type of adoration given to the Lord? Does that do something in your heart? Does that somehow stir you to somehow marvel and rejoice in God and somehow just give Him recognition for His glory in a way more so than what you have done till now? Today we live in a world where the word awesome has become quite a trite word. Almost anything is awesome these days. Even awful things are called awesome already. Somehow the word doesn't have quite the meaning that probably the dictionary would give to it, or we would sense what it would be. I sense that these people who were in the presence of the Lord, and when they saw this lamb slain, and that he was worthy and able to open the book and to open the seals thereof, that there was a sense of awe and wonder and amazement and an awesomeness that just overpowered them and overwhelmed them. And there was nothing trite, there was nothing indifferent, casual in their heart at that moment about the situation. There was a sense of respect and just deep awe. Here stood the one who was worthy. And I do believe that when we sense that that's the kind of God we have, it changes our perspective of Him, how we relate to Him, and also how we then relate to others around Him or that are connected to God, or that we should be respecting in any other way according to God's plan. I'd like to this evening just look at a few people in Scripture who met God in a special way, and just like to look a little bit at some of their responses to God. And I just would like for us to ask ourselves, if I would meet God in such a way, would it change my perspective of God? Would God to me be just some casual kind of a God? Would I be flippant about it? Or would it somehow draw me to a deeper respect, awe, fear, adoration of a God that is worthy of all honor? I think first of all of Jacob. When Jacob was coming back to his homeland with his family, and that last night, before he was to have an encounter with his brother Esau, and he had sent his family and divided them into parts and into camps, And then he spent that night alone. And there came a man of God, and he had this all-night wrestle with the man of God. It went up till about morning, and this man of God wanted to leave, and Jacob just said, "I will not let you go till you bless me." And he received that blessing that he was looking for. The scripture then says, "And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life has been preserved." And he passed over Peniel, and as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose up upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Jacob had a vision, a connection, a revelation, an experience with God, and he realized it, and it changed him. In fact, it changed him forever. Scripture says he became a man who halted. Probably had to walk somewhat with a cane, I don't know. But something happened to his thigh, and forever he remembered, "I met God." And when we meet God in whatever special ways he senses that we are to meet him, it could well be it will leave us a changed individual. It may leave a mark on us, but that's the mark that it costs to consider God to be awesome. I look at Job. Job went through many struggles and afflictions, and he didn't know why. And he asked a lot of questions, and he couldn't understand what was all happening. And his friends were trying to give him some sort of answers. But they all came short of what really was the issue at hand. And they were really frustrating Job more than helping him. And then finally, God starts speaking. Or I should say, God starts asking the questions, which is basically all that God did. God really did not give Job any more information, but God starts asking the questions. "Where were you when this took place? How do you understand this? What do you know about this?" And after some time of being questioned by God, Job says, "I know that thou canst do everything, that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, and now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." And Job realized, "I have met God. I realize that I have seen him. Not only heard about him, I have seen him." And that took on a whole new perspective as to what his problems were all about. The scripture never gives indication that Job ever found out what had all gone on that his afflictions came upon him. I don't know if he ever lived to see the day or to realize what had all taken place. But he met God. And he saw some of the awesomeness of God in his situation. And that was enough. And he was satisfied. God blessed him. Yes, he did. But he realized that God is an awesome God. We go to Moses. Moses had several encounters with God. Probably the most prominent one is a time when he was on Mount Sinai for a length of time. And he met God, and God talked with him. And God revealed things to him about the law and tabernacle worship and things like this. In fact, twice he went up on that mountain and had communion and communication with God, to the point where his face shone with a glory that needed to be veiled when he came back. Yet the interesting thing is, several chapters later, when Israel had again been into their bout of sinning, and God says to Moses, "Just stand back, and I'm going to wipe out this people, and I'm going to build a new people out of you." And Moses starts pleading for the people, the Israelites, the Hebrew people. And he says, "Now if you will wipe out this people, then all the nations around us will say, God could take these people out, but he couldn't bring them in." And Moses pleads for his people, and he says, go with us into this land of Canaan, because if you don't go with us, we don't want to go. We need you. We need you. But then Moses asks this question, please show me your glory. Now you would think that after all the glory of God that Moses has seen, he could have said, well, I've seen it all, I've seen enough. But I do believe that when we sense the awesomeness of God, and we see God reveals himself in a way special, and we sense that we have been in the presence of him who is high and holy, the one who lives in light that we cannot attain unto, the one who is eternal and immortal, I think all it does is just increases our hunger and our quest to see more of the awesomeness of God, to be more connected to it. It doesn't satisfy, it just increases that longing. The scripture says that Moses talked with God as a man does face to face with another man. And yet Moses had this continual hunger to be in the presence, to walk with a God who he knew to be awesome, very awesome. And he did not feel uncomfortable communicating with a God that he knew to be this way. We look at Isaiah. Isaiah saw the holiness of the Lord and the greatness of God sitting upon the throne high and lifted up, and these seraphims that were there calling holy, holy, holy. And as he saw this, he realized his undoneness and that he was a man who was not worthy. The scripture says that a coal was taken from off that altar by a seraphim and just seared his lips, and he was cleansed. And at that time he heard the voice saying, who is going to go for us? Whom can we send? And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. I believe that the awesomeness of God, when we sense that in a special way, it compels us to be willing and obedient to the call of God, whatever that might be in our life. Very often when we hold back on God, it's maybe because we haven't seen the picture that God wants us to see of himself. In fact, there were people living in the time of Jesus, who even those who walked with Jesus, the scripture says the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And yet many didn't realize that they were in the presence of an awesome God. In fact, even Philip asked one time of Jesus, show us the Father and it will suffice that, us. And Jesus turns around and says to him, have I not been so long with you, Philip? And you don't know me? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. We can, you know, the awesomeness of God is around us. It is there. But it takes spiritual eyes and a spiritual revelation and a willingness on our part to realize again how great God really is. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, and they shall see God. That's one of the conditions that we need to meet. To see the Lord. Not only in the future, but to see him working in experiences in our lives. To see him working in circumstances. To see him working through his word. To see him working through his spirit. To see what God is doing and who he is today. One of the new books that Christian Light just came out with, compiled by different people, by Sister Norma Plank, but put together stories of how different people met God. Maybe not in dreams and visions so much, but how they sensed God speaking to them in special ways. And God wants to do that. Other religions have a God that is very, very distant. We have a God who we will never fully be able to see this side of eternity, but a God who wants to be very close to us. And God's awesomeness is not because he is so far removed from us, but God's awesomeness that he is so great, and yet he wants to be so near to those who know him and love him. Stephen experienced that in the last few moments of his life. as he was being stoned, after giving probably the greatest testimony of his life that could be given. The Bible says he was full of the Holy Ghost, was looking steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of the Lord and Jesus standing at his right hand, and he prayed, died praying, "Lord, receive my spirit." He saw a glory. He saw some of the awesomeness of God as he passed from this life into eternity. Then there's Saul, who was at that stoning of Stephen. And he didn't see the awesomeness of God at that point. But he met that awesome God in a special way on the road to Damascus. And when he asked, "Well, who are you?" And then Jesus says, "I am Jesus whom you're persecuting." The only response that Saul had at that point was, "What do you want me to do?" And similar to Isaiah, when we see the presence of God and we see his awesomeness, it will prompt us and move us to a willingness, "God, what are you asking of me?" Later, as Saul was Paul and was one of the greatest ministers and workers for the Lord that is known, he had the privilege of having this heavenly vision of being in the third heaven. He says, and there were things that were just could not really be described and written about that he saw. He writes about this in the third person. Doesn't clearly identify that it was him, although we believe from the context that that's who it was. He saw this glorious vision. But the Lord then placed in his life a thorn to keep him from being overexalted above measure. He asked that this thorn be removed several times, three times. And God says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And Paul then replies, "More gladly will I rather than glory in infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And just like Jacob, who halted upon his thigh, Paul knew what it was like to experience the awesomeness of God and be left with a thorn. One day all men are going to realize and recognize the awesomeness of God. The scripture says that every knee will one day bow. What a privilege those people will have who in this life have bowed that knee and don't wait till that day to have it happen. That'll be too late, but they will recognize the awesomeness of God for who it is and what it is. Now God is awesome whether you and I recognize it or not. And I would encourage us this evening as we close that we look for the awesomeness of God and allow Him to show Himself to us the way He would deem it best. I do also believe that as we give God the honor that is due to an awesome God, and we will recognize Him for who He is, though it is with human eyes and human hearts, that is going to move us and prompt us also to give honor and recognition and respect to those whom God has chosen, that we do so. It will. But I believe as we meet God, in whatever circumstances or way he sees best, yes, it may leave us halting, it may leave us with a thorn, but it will change us. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 3 that we beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, as beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. And as we meet God, and as God meets us, and we sense His awesomeness, it does make us more Christ-like. That's why I said what I did before. People who have an encounter with Jesus somehow lose their casualness of God. People who have an encounter with the Lord, who meet God and who sense His awesomeness, that somehow diffuses flippancy, indifference, casualness, those things. It does. Because we see the true perspective of who God is. Never fully in this life will we be able to see the awesomeness of God. That, I believe, is reserved for something beyond this life, when we are in glory. And there we will see The Bible says, know as we are known. We're going to see with clearer vision. But I believe throughout all eternity, we will not cease to marvel at how awesome God really is. We will never get weary or tired of the greatness of our awesome God. The true believer sees God in any revelation of God that there is with a sense of awe, a respect, because he has a close relationship with the Lord. And the closer his relationship is with the Lord, the more he will honor God, the more he will see his awesomeness, and the more he's going to honor that which God deems worthy of honor and respect. And so this evening as we close, our honor one of another, and our honor to each other. If all of us just based on just giving honor to men because we are men, we're standing on a very shallow foundation. But if our honor for each other and respect of each other is based on that we have an honor and a respect for an awesome God, then our honor of each other and to each other can also be that which is genuine and real. And so may God help us this evening as we close to have that kind of honor based on an awesome God.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.